Chapter 12. The following morning, during breakfast, Sean thought about his next move. He could write an invitation to dinner, and then he would deliver it himself. They would have to ask him to stay for coffee, and then, if he waited, there would be a chance. Even Upa would have to stop talking sometime, and Uma might relax her vigilance. He was sure there'd be a chance to talk to the girl. He didn't know what he would say to her, but he'd worry about that when the time came. He climbed into the wagon and found pencil and paper in his chest. He went back to the table and spread the paper in front of him. He chewed the end of the pencil and stared out into the bush. Something moved against the trees. Sean put the pencil down and stood up. The dogs barked, then stopped as they recognized Halubi. He was coming at a trot. He was coming with news. Sean waited for him.
"A big herd in Kosi, with many showing ivory. I saw them drink at the river, then go back into the bush feeding quietly."
"When?" asked Sean to gain time. He was searching for a plausible excuse to stay in camp. It would have to be good to satisfy Embi Janey, who was already saddling one of the horses.
"Before the sun this morning," answered Halubi.
And Sean was trying to remember which was his sore shoulder. He couldn't hunt with a sore shoulder. Embi Janey led the horse into the lager. Sean scratched the side of his nose and coughed.
"The tracker from the other camp follows close behind me in Kosi. He too has seen the herd, and brings the news to his master. But I, being as swift as a springbok when I run, have outdistanced him," Halubi ended modestly.
"Is that so?" For Sean, it changed the whole problem. He couldn't leave the herd to that red-headed Dutchman. He ran across to the wagon and snatched his bandolier from the foot of the cot. His rifle was already in the scabbard.
"Are you tired, Halubi?"
Sean buckled the heavy ammunition belt across his chest. The sweat had run in oily streaks down the Zulu's body. His breathing was deep and quick.
"No, in Kosi. Well then, lead us to these elephant of yours, my fleet-footed springbok."
Sean swung up onto his horse. He looked over his shoulder at the other camp. She would still be there when he came back. Sean was limited to the speed of Halubi's feet, while the two Leroux had only to gallop along the easy spoor left by Sean's party, and they caught up with him before he'd gone 2 miles.
"Good morning to you,"
Upa greeted him as he drew level and pulled his horse into a trot.
"Out for a morning's ride, I see."
Sean made the best of it with a grin.
"We're all to hunt, then we must hunt together, do you agree?"
"Of course, Mynheer."
"And we must share the bag equally, 1/3 to each man."
"That is always the way," Upa nodded.
"Do you agree?"
Sean turned in his saddle towards Jan Paulus. Jan Paulus grunted. He showed little inclination to open his mouth since he'd lost his tooth. They found the spoor within an hour. The herd had wrecked a road through the thick bush along the river. They'd stripped the bark from the saplings and left them naked and bleeding. They had knocked down bigger trees to reach the tender top leaves, and they had dropped their great piles of dung in the grass.
"We need no trackers to follow this."
Jan Paulus had the first excitement on him. Sean looked at him and wondered how many elephant had died in front of his rifle. 1,000, perhaps, and yet the excitement was on him again now.
"Tell your servants to follow us. We'll go ahead. We'll catch them within an hour."
He smiled at Sean, gap-toothed, and Sean felt the excitement lift the hair on his own forearms. He smiled back. They cantered in a rough line abreast, slack rein to let the horses pick their own way among the fallen trees. The river bush thinned out as they moved north, and soon they were into parkland. The grass brushed their stirrups, and the ground beneath it was firm and smooth. They rode without talking, leaning forward in their saddles, looking ahead. The rhythmic beat of hooves was a war drum. Sean ran his fingers along the row of bullets strapped across his chest. Then he drew his rifle, checked the load, and thrust it back into its scabbard.
"There!"
said Hooper, and Sean saw the herd. It was massed among a grove of fever trees a quarter of a mile ahead.
"Name of a name," Paulus whistled. "There must be 200 at least."
Sean heard the first pig squeal of alarm, saw ears fan out and trunks lift. Then the herd bunched together and ran with their backs humped, a thin screen of dust trailing behind them.
"Paulus, take the right flank. You men here in the middle, and our ride left," shouted Hooper.
Sean jammed his hat down over his ears, and his horse jumped under him as he hit it with his heels. Like a thrown trident, the three horsemen hurled themselves at the herd. Sean rode into the dust. He picked an old cow elephant from the moving mountain range in front of him, and pressed his horse so close upon her that he could see the bristles in her tail tuft and the erosion of her skin, wrinkled as an old man's scrotum. He touched his hand to his horse's neck, and it plunged, from full gallop to stand still in half a dozen strides. Sean threw his feet free of the stirrups and hit the ground, loose-kneed to ride the shock. The cow's spine was a line of lumps beneath the grey skin. Sean broke it with his first bullet, and she dropped, sliding on her hindquarters like a dog with worms. His horse started to run again before he was properly in the saddle, and everything became movement and noise, dust and the smell of burnt powder. Chase them, coughing in the dust, close with them. Off the horse and shoot. Wet blood on grey skin, slam, slam of the rifle, its barrel hot, recoiling savagely. Sweat in the eyes, stinging. Ride. Shoot again. Two more down, screaming, anchored by paralyzed legs. Blood red as a flag. Load, cramming cartridges into the rifle. Ride, chase them, shoot again and again. The bullet striking on flesh with a hollow sound, then up and ride again. Ride until the horse could no longer keep up with them and he had to let them go. He stood, holding his horse's head. The dust and the thirst closed his throat. He couldn't swallow. His hands trembled in reaction. His shoulder was aching again. He untied his silk scarf, wiped his face with it, and blew the mud out of his nose. Then he drank from his water bottle. The water tasted sweet. The hunt had led from parkland into Mopani bush. It was very thick, shiny green leaves hanging to the ground and pressing close around him. The air was still and warm to breathe. He turned back along the line of the chase. He found them by their squealing. When they saw him, they tried to charge, dragging themselves towards him, using the front legs only and groping with their trunks. They sagged into stillness after the head shot. This was the bad part. Sean worked quickly. He could hear the other rifles in the Mopani forest around him, and when he came to one of the long clearings among the trees, he saw Jan Paulus walking towards him, leading his horse.
"How many?" called Sean. "God, men, I didn't count. What a killing, eh? Have you got a drink for me? I dropped my water bottle somewhere."
Jan Paulus's rifle was in its saddle scabbard. The reins were slung over his shoulder, and his horse followed him with its head drooping from exhaustion. The clearing was walled in with the dense Mopani trees, and a wounded elephant broke into the open. It was lung shot, the side of its chest painted with froth, and when it squealed, the blood sprayed in a pink spout from the end of its trunk. It went for Jan Paulus, streaming the black battle ensigns of its ears. His horse reared, the reins snapped. It turned free and galloped away, leaving him full in the path of the charge. Sean went up onto his horse's back without touching the stirrups. His horse threw its head, dancing in a tight circle, but he dragged it around and drove it to intercept the charge.
"Don't run, for God's sake, don't run," he shouted, as he cleared his rifle from the scabbard.
Jan Paulus heard him. He stood with his hands at his sides, his feet apart and his body braced. The elephant heard Sean's shout also, and it swung its head, and Sean saw the first hesitation in its run. He fired, not trying to pick his shot, hoping only to hurt it, to bring it away from Jan Paulus. The bullet slapped into it with the sound of a wet towel flicked against a wall. The elephant turned, clumsy with the weakness of its shattered lungs. Sean gathered his horse beneath him and wheeled it away, and the elephant followed him. Sean fumbled as he reloaded. His hands were slippery with sweat. One of the brass shells slipped through his fingers, tapped against his knee and dropped into the grass under his horse's hooves. The elephant gained on him. He loosened his bedroll from the saddle and let it fall. They would sometimes stop to savage even a small fallen hat, but not this one. He turned in the saddle and fired into it. It squealed again so close upon him that the blown blood splattered into his face. His horse was almost finished. He could feel its legs flopping with every stride, and they were nearly at the end of the clearing, racing towards the solid wall of green mopani. He pushed another round into the breech of his rifle and swung his body across the saddle. He slid down until his feet touched the ground, and he was running next to his horse. He let go and was flung forward, but he fought to keep his balance, his body jarring with the force of his run. Then, still on his feet, he turned for his first steady shot. The elephant was coming in fast, almost on top of him, hanging over him like a cliff, its trunk coiled on its chest, and the curves of its eyrie were lifted high. "It's too close, much too close. I can't hit the brain from here." He aimed at the hollow in its forehead, just above the level of its eyes. He fired, and the elephant's legs folded up. Its brain burst like an overripe tomato within the bone castle of its skull. Sean tried to jump aside as the massive body came skidding down upon him, but one of its legs hit him and threw him face down into the grass. He lay there. He felt sick, for his stomach was still full of warm, oily fear. After a while he sat up and looked at the elephant. One of its tusks had snapped off flush with the lip. Jan Paulus came, panting from his run. He stopped next to the elephant and touched the wound in its forehead. Then he wiped his fingers on his shirt. "Are you all right, man?" He took Sean's arm and helped him to his feet. Then he picked up Sean's hat and dusted it carefully before handing it to him.